Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
All right, guys, it's quiet time. I don't know if you noticed, but you hear very little people and no band. We're in between sessions right now, and I wanted to do an interview with Tim from Craft Beer Magazine because we kind of owe him one. The bagpipes killed the last interview. It's just overwhelming and unrecoverable. So welcome back,
great.
Tim.
I'm not sure how great that last interview was.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
4 hours.
Put your mouth a little closer to the mic so we can hear it a little better. Deep throat that thing.
That last interview, I mean, 4 hours into it is when I finally made my way over. And
yeah.
I don't know what you're getting out of that anyways. Yeah.
It was all good, man. It's just very hard to hear and comprehend.
At least you had bagpipes.
Oh, what's that voice? We have someone else here, too. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Wendy. I work for Dogfish Head Craft Brewery in Delaware.
Yeah. So you're right at Rehoboth, right?
I actually live in Philadelphia. I'm the sales manager for the Mid-Atlantic.
Oh, nice.
All of PA and parts of Maryland.
Very good, man. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
This is your first Steel City Big Pour?
Actually, no. I was here 2 years ago.
As a worker?
Fan.
Or as a...
Well, as a, definitely. I've been with Dogfish Head almost 4 years.
Oh, cool.
And the first time that I'd done it, which was about 2 years ago, I did the first session by myself and had to rely on halfway through the second session to get some volunteers. Because it coincided with the weekend that the Eagles had their home opener, and I like to go to as many Eagles football games as possible.
That's Barb, our cover model.
Oh, hey, that is Barb.
Barb!
Hi, Barb!
Hi, Barb!
Our cover model of issue two.
The cover
past.
Model of the latest edition of Craft Pittsburgh Magazine.
Doug, they were just looking for a way to switch away from the Eagles. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's all good with me. I don't even like football, so we're good. But I am in this town. It's a horrific thing to say, but I'm a Flyers fan.
That's
a,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my prison orange. Bro.
Yeah.
All right, interview over.
Yeah, shut up.
So I couldn't get a cab this weekend because they found out I was.
Dude,
a Flyers
I'm
fan.
The most hardcore fan ever.
Really?
When's the last time we won a cup? And I'm still
I was
a fan.
Born in I was born during. I won't date myself, but I was born during back-to-back cup years. So if I had not been a big baby in the bassinet, you would not have even seen me with all the black and orange.
I was born in 69. Best year to be born ever.
Poppy, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Do you remember the shush?
The shh. Yes.
Do you remember the shirt from the shush?
I don't.
You don't remember the shirt?
Oh, yeah.
I drink a lot. Oh! I think our sound man just chimed in. Oh, yeah.
I designed that shirt.
Nice.
I don't know the shush.
The shush? Okay.
Go ahead and describe it to the people.
A lot of people. It was the Max Talbot shush from the playoffs against the Flyers.
Oh, nice.
Came back from the 3-0 deficit after the fight with Carcelo.
Yeah.
That shirt.
You can say that made a difference or didn't, whatever, but we still came back and won that game and went on to win a Stanley Cup. So, yeah, that kind of moment lived on in infamy, and I took that image and I made a shirt out of that.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. You still have the image?
I do. I have a bunch of shirts at home. I just for shits and giggles, I've made like 50 of them. Put them
nice.
Up on eBay. Flew off the shelves.
Dude, if you want to sell some, now's the time to
pimp
it.
No. I'm not allowed to sell them anymore.
Well, garage sale.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
when
right.
Said, when he said shit.
I forgot about that.
I thought he said shit. So
yeah,
I was misunderstanding what shirt.
Yeah, you got denied.
I sold like 1,000 of them. And
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, then Mr. Talbot's agent got involved and said no more.
If I say vagina, everybody will hear it.
Assholes.
So anyway, let's start that. Hence, I got some capital to start my own magazine.
Indeed.
Thanks to that.
Nice. A very well done magazine, by the way.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Very good.
getting better.
Actually prefer your magazine, not being a local guy either, over the Beer Advocate magazine.
Really?
I hate that magazine. It sucks. I'll say it on here. I don't care.
Did you tell me why?
It's just the content sucks.
Content? Okay.
Yeah.
And you like our content?
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Really
did you guys
do.
Just notice that Wendy has you on the clock here? She was checking the time on this interview?
No.
Wait, you know what? There's another voice on this show. Introduce yourself.
Doug Mashington from Yards Brewing and also Wendy's lover.
Oh!
He was that close away from being the really good Mashington.
Yeah, part-time lover, full-time lover.
Yes.
Yeah,
part-time.
Yeah.
So part-time, you don't even feel it.
Oh!
It's
small,
like it doesn't
but it's cute,
even happen.
Right?
It's like it's not even there.
I haven't been paid in months.
Well, you know how long it takes a woman to come, right? Who cares?
They're still waiting.
Sorry. I do care. It's just funny.
But only afterwards.
Yeah, right on. Yeah.
You're still waiting.
Ugh, get out.
I feel guilty now.
Okay, so back on the subject.
This isn't really a beer show.
Yeah. Well, they don't call me sick puppy for nothing. That kind of interjects some...
We're 4 hours into this, so...
Yeah, right on.
I'm easily distracted.
So let's...
You're going to stop the easy.
Before this goes completely AWOL, we lose another interview, Tim... Let's talk about your magazine a bit.
Craft
what it
Pittsburgh.
Is, where you can get it, and all that good shit.
Craft Pittsburgh. Well, you can get it at pretty much a lot of the good beer spots in Pittsburgh. Bottle shops, restaurants, you know, your good gastropubs, distributors too. But what got me started on that was, you know, there's some other local publications. Well, not quite local, I guess. Like Brewing News.
Sure. Yeah, regional more than local.
Right.
Yale
Street
yeah.
News. And they're great magazines, but there really wasn't focus on Pittsburgh. There was
right.
so much going on that was not being captured. It was kind of being overlooked. You know, events like this, obviously. So I wanted to do something to give a little more emphasis on the city of Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. I love the beer scene here.
Yeah.
So also, a lot of these festivals that go on are great festivals, and they really don't get the attention. They're charitable festivals. A lot of times the charities don't get the attention. Like, people
yeah,
come
exactly.
to these festivals to drink, and they're like, they don't really know why they're here. So I kind of put emphasis on that, too. Like, why they're here, like, what the charity's for.
Right.
And a lot of other, you know, we do, you know, beer reviews. We have, we got a little homebrew section. We got a cooking with beer section, too. A little bit of everything with some, emphasis on the city.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important part of your magazine, too, is that local aspect
yeah.
of it. Oh, I love that.
And just like the others, it's a free magazine, so, you know, completely dependent on some really great advertisers.
Yeah, right on. So if you would like to advertise for Craft Pittsburgh Magazine...
Yeah, check out the website. Go to craftpittsburgh.com. There's some information there. You can just email us through the site if you want to get on board and help us out, keep it going.
There you go, man. And if you sign up with him, he gives you a free case of beer every time.
Sure, whatever.
Not really, no.
From Dogfish Head.
Oh.
See, there you go. Courtesy our other guest. Which, by the way, what are we drinking here?
I'm drinking the pumpkin ale. Which is
so you're drinking it, not sharing it?
Well,
is that
there's
it?
Absolutely okay. some here for you.
Yeah, right there.
Like, thank
some.
You.
This is our, without a doubt, this is our number one selling seasonal. It's called Pumpkin after there used to be there still is a festival in Delaware called the Pumpkin Chunga Festival.
Right on, yeah.
6 months before we actually opened, we won the award for the Pumpkin Ale. Like, that was our submission
nice.
To the contest.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool that we weren't even open yet and we already won our first award.
Yeah, right on.
And this is our number one selling seasonal, 7%. It's a beer that we like to think goes well with pumpkin pie.
Right.
Not replaces it. We didn't want. It's not overwhelming. It's not crazy sweet.
And I do have to confess, I am not a pumpkin beer fan.
Okay, I'm not either.
I respect it, because I'm a home brewer and I love
sure.
different aspects of beer, but I don't like pumpkin pie.
Right.
So liquid pumpkin pie to me is just weird.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's why it's so refreshing to have something that doesn't taste like liquid
right.
pumpkin pie.
So look, cheers, man.
Cheers
Let's do
to
this.
That.
Could you share some with Tim and me?
Yep.
I don't know why. But... See, now...
Thank you.
I could do this one because it's not overpowering in any way. It's light, I guess. Nah,
well,
that's not a very good description.
It's definitely... It's a full-bodied brown ale.
Exactly. It's full-bodied,
but... It's lighter on the spices, meaning...
Exactly.
Let's
Thank
let the full aspect of the beer itself
right
come
on,
through.
Yeah.
And
not
it's not be
pumping in your face.
Sweet. Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, goes with pie, not
right
replaces pie.
Yeah.
I think that's important. Because so many of the people, I mean, at least I speak for myself. Well, I just mean in general, our habits, our eating habits, our drinking habits. My drinking habit, I don't go for a light beer. I'm not saying I've never had it. But I don't like to drink light beer, nor do I really like to diet. So I have to make...
I can tell.
You know, but I like to eat, I like to drink, and I have to make certain sacrifices, but it's not going to be with my beer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way.
That being said, if I can get the satisfaction, at least some of the satisfaction of a piece of pumpkin pie, or at least something that puts me in the season...
Yeah, right.
Maybe I can...
And it's a popular style, so I can't, you know, I don't knock it.
Sure.
Nor
should there are some super, super sweet ones.
Oh, yeah. Some that are way overdone, way too spicy, you know.
It's
not for me, but, again, a respectable style.
Right, the Spice Bomb... Or pumpkin beers.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good, well put. Spice bombs.
Some of them, yeah. Some of them, even the ones that are a little bit heavier, like Southern Tier and stuff, are still a really good beer. Then some of them are just way over the top.
Yeah. I mean, I actually love extreme beers, but not in this sense.
Right.
You know, that's just too much. But, all right, let's chuck these down and go for the next one. What do you say? Oh, yeah, get a little more pumpkin that way.
Yeah.
Ah. Thank you.
I think last year, our first issue we did, we did a pumpkin beer review.
Mm-hmm.
And I think pumpkin came in second. Yeah, it came in second to Southern Tiers pumpkin.
Now, who does the reviews for your magazines?
It would be the Drunk Yinzers, actually.
Him.
There's a lot of Drunk Yinzers. Which ones?
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there, but specifically three of them. But you can always check those guys out. They have their own blog at drunkyinzer.com.
Oh, the specific drunkyinzer.com guys.
Yes.
I thought you were speaking in general.
Yeah, I don't just like give beer to guys walking down the Carson
Street. Yeah, right on, man.
The south side. But, no, three in particular, the official Drunk Yinzers.
Yeah, right on, man. I know them guys.
Well, really good guys, yeah. They do a really good job on the getting the beers together. And always they have some kind of theme behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. What are we drinking now, young lady?
This beer is called Raison d'Etre.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our reason to be. This was one of the first Indeed. Beers that we actually made at Dogfish Head. Sam had visited the coastal Delaware scene, restaurants, whatnot. And the steakhouses, the wine list was amazing, and the beer list was tragic. You had your regular domestic light lagers. You had some uninspiring...
Kiss,
pairings if you were going to get a beer to go with your
steak. Right.
So he had asked our brewers to come up with a beer that they thought would pair as well with a steak as,
sure.
as a fine wine, red wine. No, what we came up with was Raison d'Etre. This is 8%. It's a mahogany ale made with a Belgian yeast, beet sugars, and green raisins. Very
awesome.
Complex, but I think you'll agree. It's cheers.
Cheers.
You can over there too.
Cilantro, guys.
And no more swag for you.
Sorry, I'm going to be pretty clear on the last one.
Usually we find that people that, if they enjoy wine and they tell us that they like red wine, I'll offer them the Raison d'Etre.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
If it's white wine, we offer Midas Touch, Gold Mullet.
Indeed. Indeed. I actually have Sam's Extreme Brewing book, and that's one I want to brew.
Excellent.
It's in there.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your brewing blog you had, you made the Kiwi-Wit.
I made the Kiwi-Wit, yeah.
How did that come out?
Amazing.
Really? Because mine was awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine was great.
Yeah, mine was bad.
I might still have some bottles of it.
It was totally my fault, I'm sure. I took basically I made a 5-gallon batch of wit beer, and then I kind of just took a gallon off of it. I stuck it into a gallon wine jug with some Kiwi just to see what happened, and
right
it came
on.
Out really sour, so
wow.
I messed something up.
Might have overdone the Kiwi in that 1 gallon.
Yeah.
I used 4 pounds of Kiwi for a 5-gallon batch, and it turned out nice.
Good.
I don't like fruit beers, not much, but I'm that kind of brewer where I'll make it, and even if I don't like that style, I'll just give it away, because I want to know how to make it, you know? It's the fun of brewing and the science of it and just figuring shit out. I love it.
I keep saying that I don't like fruit beers, and then I keep thinking about a beer that I like that has fruit in it.
Yeah. If it's subtle, I'll do it. And if it's in your paste fruit, I can't do it.
I've been having
like the Lindemans.
That's so
too much.
Yeah.
So I just got back from West Coast. I did kind of a road trip.
No, that's right, you bastard. I was jealous.
Surfing.com.
Right. And I stopped at a place called Cascade Brewing out in Portland. And I mean, like, nothing but sour beers and barrel-aged beers. And they were loving fruit beers. And one of my favorites was actually an apricot sour.
Oh, nice.
That was the one beer that I brought home with me.
And that's the one style I'm struggling with right now, is the sours.
Yeah.
I want to like them.
I'm
failing
them.
Miserably okay. Right now.
Yeah, I wanted to like them last
trying.
It's not heartburn, is it?
No, it's just, okay. It's like 3 pounds of sweet tarts in your mouth all at once. I just can't get over that.
Yep.
And if you try like the first beer of the night, the next three beers taste sour.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's just too overpowering.
But I wanted to like them last year, and now I'm like...
Yeah,
really see, and people were saying last year, like, sours were the next poppy. They're the next big thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know about that.
I think that's actually turned around. I think now it's session beers.
I love
they're becoming,
session beers.
Yeah, they're becoming the more popular thing. But, yeah, I mean, that's what this show is all about, is, you know, we try and preach to everyone, is try a beer. If you don't like it, revisit it. Try a different brewer. You know, get that one you like. There's got to be one out there you like.
Yeah, you definitely have to revisit things. I can't tell you how many times I've had a beer, didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, we've done beer on the show that I've hated.
Being new.
3 months later, I'm like, right, that ain't that bad.
Your taste change, you kind of acclimate to things, you get a little more
environment,
familiar,
the atmosphere,
your palate is
your
more
mood.
Sophisticated. Yeah.
Yep.
I remember starting out, and I was like, an IPA was disgusting to me.
I'm a huge hophead.
When I was a noob.
Turned me onto it.
Yeah, being a newbie back in the day, I was like, IPAs, that was my last thing, and now it's almost all I drink are IPAs.
That guy out there, that's Stevie Olens from Sierra Nevada. He actually reintroduced Sierra Nevada to me, where I went through a phase.
Oh, really?
I loved it, and then all of a sudden I went through a phase where it just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah,
anymore. And
I'm actually kind of that way now with the pale ale.
But I worked for the wholesaler. He was our local guy, and we went out to lunch. I had a nice fresh one. Next thing you know, I had another one, and
nice.
I was like, I don't understand what happens, but palates just they just go through
for
these
me,
states.
What's it's, weird for me, and that specific beer, the pale ale, is I love hoppy shit, right? But that specific beer, after about three of them, my palate's cooked. I'm done. And I've had hoppier beers. I've had less hoppy, more hoppy. It's just that particular beer that I get three in, and I'm like, and it burns me out, you know?
It's still a staple in my fridge. I'm not gonna lie.
Indeed.
It's always back there.
Is that your session ale?
Yeah, I mean, I love hops, and there's no doubt about it.
Me
I'm
too.
A hophead. But I also
I'm
like
sorry,
the big
I had
grounds.
Hop candy here earlier, but we're all out.
It's okay.
I'll send you some, though.
I would love
it. It's like crack cocaine to a hophead.
I would love it.
It's amazing.
I made some hop vodka.
How did that turn out? Because I thought about doing like a...
It's not bad.
You know, hard liquor.
It's not bad. Thing. I didn't know really where to start. And if I'm correct, I think Dogfish played with that for a while. They never actually officially sold it, but they experimented with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I took some fresh hops out of the backyard, Cascade, Centennial. Just, you know, threw a few cones in a bottle of Boyd & Blair.
Nice.
Shook it up, let it sit for about a day. And it was very interesting. I tell you what, I took it to a party and everybody loved it.
That's cool, man.
Everybody loved it. It was a really weird drink. It looked like the vodka ended up looking like Mountain Dew.
Wow.
Had that like green yellowish tinge to it.
All the oils just went.
I kind of went the opposite direction with that. I infused like habanero peppers and ghost chili peppers in the vodka.
That's right. I had a really good one on the West Coast.
You
again,
think
I had
the vodka burns? Wait, you put ghost peppers in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a
it'll
like a
make
tamale.
You take back shit you never stole.
I had a tamale vodka out on the west coast of the distillery I stopped out.
Nice.
And I'm not a big spice guy, but...
Yeah, I am. I love that.
You know what, though? The spicy with that alcohol burn is really good compliment.
Not with the ghost peppers.
Oh,
ghost no,
pepper?
Okay.
Ghost pepper. Ghost pepper's pure pain.
Yeah, I saw...
I haven't messed with that. Yeah. Not to that level.
But, I mean, I've grown habaneros for years, so I have a tolerance for those. I thought, how much hotter can a ghost pepper be? That's bullshit.
Pretty freaking hot.
It isn't that much hotter. Like, it isn't really, but the feeling you get once you eat one is way different. You get euphoric. It's almost a high. And I couldn't see. My vision was blurred.
Interesting.
It was just crazy. I had to focus. I've never had that with a habanero.
Remember to breathe.
Yeah, right. Breathe. It's like doing acid for the first time.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you'd lick the wrong side of them stamps. Shut up. Let's have more beer. Why is there three
what do you think of the
here?
Raison? Because this is one of our most...
I've had this beer many times before, and I love it.
We do a direct... there's a direct correlation. Obviously, 60 Minutes, our number one selling beer. You know, people like the
of
hops.
Of course.
And that has...
I adore the 120, by the way.
which that's great to hear that.
Please send some directly to my house.
End of September.
Nice.
Yeah, Bassini's getting that. Bassini Distributing is our wholesaler in Millvale.
Nice, I know them well.
They do an amazing,
amazing report. Hopefully put one back for me.
I think it's an amazing job for us. www.beersince1933.com. Yeah,
so we need a beer guy.
Old school, but they are just tried and true craft guys.
Oh, they're great people. They're good friends.
You can't,
if
you need anything, education, suggestions, it's like they're so good.
Beer school in Pittsburgh. They
Tony's a sweetheart. Yeah. He does that stuff all.
Not really. No, Tony, you suck. No, he's been really good to us.
You meet Jake.
No, Tony. He's an ass.
Loved him. I think Sam, our boss, Sam Calgioni, was on a radio podcast that they do for the...
Yeah, they were on...
The Craft Beer Radio.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Not the podcast.
The actual radio station.
I'm trying really hard to get... Sam is, like, you know, super obvious. He's running a brewery. I'm trying to get him out for that craft beer school.
Do you know about our Dogfish 120 video that we did years ago?
You didn't chug it, right? That wasn't you.
No, that wasn't me. That was my co-host.
Was it called Doctor? Was there a name that he gave
himself? Dogfish 120 chug. Father Spoon.
Father Spoon. I watched that.
And when
Sam
and his wife
tripping.
Found out about that, they invited us down and everything, but we never made it. But we'll have to do that again. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
I've watched that.
It was fun. We got so many more followers from that just because of the hate. I'm like, we're making fun of you assholes.
You basically just chugged a whole bottle of wine.
Yeah, I cannot believe that you would chug that fine beer. Dude, we did this to make fun of you beer snobs.
Right.
You know, I do consider myself a beer snob in the brewing aspect of it.
Some people are so
extreme. I prefer beer geek. You know?
Enthusiast.
Beer enthusiast.
Enthusiast.
Some would say drunk.
I think geek covers it.
Yeah, me too. Right, did we get some Yards beer here?
Yeah, you guys did.
There's Yards here.
Is it this one?
Doug actually straight off. That's
I don't
fault,
know where he went. Maybe he went to take a shit or something.
No.
He probably went to eat. They're calling last call for the food.
Yeah, I haven't eaten yet either, but I'm just going to suck on the Bocktown sample.
Yeah, Drew from Piper's was walking past, and I told Doug. I said, hey, Doug, if you want to sell some first things.
Hey, Mike, the sound guy, grab me a plate. That'd be great. Thanks.
Their system is sick.
Like, yeah, that's speechless. What happened. Okay, so Doug's
the Hobbit door that goes into.
Oh, I know, isn't that awesome?
I'm standing there and I'm like,
old
how
house,
are you gonna put
man.
It?
It was at a house in Squirrel Hill. That's why the address on the door. Yeah. What happened is Doug was standing here reading the magazine with the big cask beer feature, and he looked at me and goes, "Where is this place?" And I said, "It's Piper's Pub." That guy right behind you, walking away, and I was like, "You know what? We want Firkins in Pittsburgh of Yards. He wants Firkins. Go talk to that guy right there." And Doug, you know, just charted off. How do you feel about the Pittsburgh beer scene? Because last year when I talked to some guys, like talking to the guy Jay from Stone and Brian from Victory, like what do they think about the city right now? And they're like, this, and you can attest to this, I'm sure. They said what they see in Pittsburgh right now is what they saw in Philadelphia like 3-4 years ago. And Philadelphia is one of the biggest beer cities in the country.
Philadelphia is, without a doubt, the best beer drinking city in America.
You know, but being from Pittsburgh, I know it kind of sucks that they're better than us at that.
It's a little shameful.
That doesn't take away from the beer scene we have here, though.
It's a great
beer scene.
But my point was, those guys all
said... It's a bigger city.
They said that's... Like, Pittsburgh is on that same track. This is what Philadelphia was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, that's awesome to hear, man. That's great.
And like I said, 2 or 3 guys, you know, out from that with his reps out there told me that exact same thing.
I think with any market, there's one way to look at it, and the people that do this are going to be ahead of the rat race.
Right on.
If there's not, like, there's no secret rule about selling beer. If you want to put craft beer in your lineup, put it in there. People that want craft beer will come to you.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked to so many people that say that they don't have that kind of customer.
They
and
do.
You make your customer
exactly.
base.
Exactly.
I mean, if you put it, they you,
and you have to
you
market
place it.
It.
They will come.
Right. It's
my
such
co-host
a little...
here is a perfect example of that. This is Phil Rita.
Hi, Phil.
This is
Wendy.
Wendy.
Sandy.
So nice to hear
Sandy.
You talking,
I do a Vintage really Estate Beer and Wine in Boardman.
Hi, Phil. We never met Tim.
Sam.
It's Sandy. Nice to meet you.
They have the number one beer store in the world. In the world. But, he knows all about it, brother. This is the Yards what? Hey, I don't know. He brought over a Yards beer.
Jefferson?
I don't know, actually. He was here, then he walked away. It's definitely not the Brawler, because I would know that one.
It's not Brawler.
No, it's not Brawler.
I love the Brawler.
I do
it's
too.
A Scotch Ale that's Session. Well, we
that's what I want. Too, right? I want a Brawler, a firkin of Brawler in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, dude.
That would be phenomenal on cask.
That actually reminds me, now that I'm redoing your interview today, I owe Yards one, because I interviewed the owner of Yards at Three Sons Dogs
Tom
and Sucks.
Keogh.
Tom, yeah. Great guy.
Keo. Team KO! Well,
we did it
Team
in the back Keo. Room of the place, and all you could hear over the audio was the coolers. It was horrifically bad. So I felt bad that we kind of dumped that interview, but and
we
it was a
yours.
Damn good one, too.
Well,
you
they
know?
Have an event coming up pretty soon. You should come down to Philly for it. It's called Smoke 'em If He's Got 'em.
She wants me to go to Philly. I'm kidding. I would. I'm just being an asshole.
All right, you're succeeding, but I see that 90-minute cap looking at me, and I can't really be mad at you.
I wore this for you. I didn't know.
It's a good move.
I don't have game. All right, guys, anything you guys want to pimp before we end this discussion?
Wendy?
Maybe in a couple of weeks when I can talk about some really cool things, we can talk again. But I'd love to say, you know, visit www.dogfish.com. All of our events, most of our events are posted there. And we also have Fish Finder, which seems to be everyone's number one problem. They want to know where they can find certain Dogfish Head beers.
Right on, yeah.
If you go on Fish Finder, you can put your zip code in and pull down a list of beers. And it'll give you real-time sales data as to where that beer was sold to in the last up to 60 days. So
oh,
at least
nice.
You should still call there, but you might have a better chance of finding it.
Right on, man. Jim?
Yeah, I'm going to pimp something. I'm going to pimp some
Do
t-shirts.
Do it, brother.
Some
Do
t-shirts.
It. Pimp whatever you want. That's what we're here for, brother.
Go outside. Check out craftpittsburgh.com. We're selling some t-shirts here for the city, but support your local brewer across the back. It's a really cool t-shirt. Nice.
By the way, thank you for the shirts.
You're welcome. Very
Indeed.
Welcome. Yeah, you can those at craftpittsburgh.com. They're about $17. Free shipping. Can't beat
Good
it.
Good quality shirts. Yeah, they're nice.
Thank you for that shirt.
Made locally, printed up at the
I
guys.
Think if you're a craft beer fan and a Steelers fan, you'll love them.
Yeah.
It's the Steelers colors all over.
Yeah, guys right, down at the Commonwealth Press got them printed up for us.
Awesome.
Nice, man.
Drink locally, think globally.
There you go. Had a girl. All right, hey, thanks again, guys. Cheers,
Thank
man.
Thank you. Cheers.
Good
Cheers.
Talking
Cheers.
To you.
Cilantro.
All right. Keep up the good work.
We're back. We're still drinking. It's still break time. We got about 45 minutes till the next session, which should be even crazier than the first.
Oh yeah!
So now the crazy people come to the beer fest.
I think we're just getting warmed up, sick puppy.
I know, and that's a dangerous thing, my friend.
And we're surrounded by all these great craft brewers. It's like beer heaven.
Well, except for one.
You.
Yeah. You thought I was going to say you, didn't you?
Every rose has its thorn.
What was that?
Every rose has its thorn.
Yeah.
Poison. That'd be poison.
Every yeah. rose.
That's bad. You quoted Bret Michaels, and I should kill you.
I didn't kill you.
Well, with that introduction, we actually have two brewers here, two breweries / brewers with us right now. One's an old man. The other are new. Is that wrong? Sorry, Scott. Hey! If you guys want to introduce yourself, we'll start with Scott.
You know that by yourself.
All right, I'm Scott from East End Brewing. And what? And I'm Sagittarius. I like long walks on the... No.
That's what I was looking for, dude.
Okay, good. Got you covered. We're a small production brewery here in Pittsburgh. This festival is in our backyard just about, so... but as evidenced today, it's like the kid who lives three doors down from the school. He's always late for class. We're like scrambling like idiots here this morning, trying to get everything ready. But we got through session one, so now we should be able to go.
Can I introduce yourself, bud? I'm John, Helltown Brewing.
Helltown, dude. That's right up my alley. It's my persona, my personality.
So where's Helltown? Tell them where Helltown's located at so they know.
We're in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. About
wait a minute. Yeah. I need to interrupt just for a second. Helltown is Mount Pleasant.
Yes.
That's an awesome contradiction.
Many years ago, 1700s, used to be called Helltown.
And oh.
I guess you do learn on this show.
Yeah, the people of the town didn't necessarily like that name. So
I would have been awesome. They got rid of it.
So they said, let's come up with something more pleasant while they were looking at a mountain. They said, Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a dog mounting another dog. Mount Pleasant. Hey. I guarantee you that's how that went down, actually.
Well, sick puppy. I'm pretty happy right now, too, because really, first time I met Scott, we took a whole busload of people to his place, and he was a little bit overwhelmed. At East End Brewing.
We've got capacity for about 15 people to come in at a time. It seems crowded, and he pulled up with an entire wagon train? Or,
an entire busload of 52 people. And Scott came out smiling. He's like, shit. But you did a great job at making that whole group feel very welcome. And I know I told you that before, but I want to say it again now. And it was just awesome, that experience. And it's nice to see you growing your business. And I know all the stresses that come with that, Scott. But what? You're growing for one reason, man. You're making great beer.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. I mean, it's always wild to bring a group of that size in, because usually when you do a tour group and it's like 15 or 20 people, and we'll walk over, you know, to the other side, like walk 10 feet down to the other side of the room and say, this is our distribution department. And walk back and go, all right, this is our production department. With 50 people in the room, we couldn't walk. Like, that's the bathroom. If anybody can find their way to it, that's about all I can do for you.
It's like me, Scott. I live in a mobile home. When I give a tour of my place, I'm like, look left, look right, we're done. That's it.
Yeah, but you don't have good beer, though, man. He does.
Hey, I'm a home brewer. That was insulting.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
ouch. That hurts.
Still
though,
love you, though.
We'll talk about that later.
All right, we'll talk about that.
He could visit
Bastard.
The States and pick up some.
Well, he does.
I do it often.
I love you for that, too, man.
I'm tunneling my own tunnel from Pittsburgh to DE as we speak.
Oh, yeah. Well, we need East End, we need Helltown, and some of these great craft breweries coming to my place, though. And I know that's a bit of a bureaucratic thing, but it can happen, and it's not that big, it's not that hard. But I know the biggest challenge is production, and you know, we have two breweries here. I mean, Scott, you're about to increase your production here over the next year or so, right?
Yeah, in the process. We just bought a building in June, and we're jammed into about 4,000 square feet now, and the new space is 17,000 square feet.
Wow.
So we're starting with a new brew house, new fermenters. But as it is today, we're making every drop of beer we can out of the current tiny little shoebox. So all we're really doing now is pissing people off because they can't get the beer and draft account. We've been a loyal draft account for 6 years, and I can't get the Fat Gary. I'm like, I can't do it. You know,
well, you know,
I can't make it appear. It doesn't.
I don't think you're going to lose them, though, Scott. You know, I really don't. I know that there's a frustration there, but it's all part of the growing.
Well, so. and these guys, I was talking to them about it an hour ago. They got the same capacity issue, just in a different different form, right?
Yeah. We have about a 3,000 square foot building, and it's already getting to be too small.
Yeah. Well, that's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great problem to have.
You know, but, you know, it all equates to one thing, guys, and you'll agree with this. Where do we go now? And the one thing that equates to is the dollar bill, because it costs a lot of money. And I know, I admire you guys so much, and I mean it from my heart, because you are taking the risk that a lot of people want to take, but they didn't take it.
I don't have the balls to do that.
You know.
Well, my background, I came from a corporate America. I worked for a Fortune 500 company for like 13 years before jumping ship and starting to make beer. And at the time, I thought, well, this is a really risky move. You know, I'm stepping away from a perfectly good job where I got, you know, security and benefits. And now, though, I look back, like, we got four full-time employees now, so we've staffed up. We doubled our staff and then doubled again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's the point where, like, I feel like I've got security. If things go south, I'm still going to be employed. And I look at all the guys I used to work with,
that were working for a big corporation, half of them are laid off or you know, outsourced or relocated to something else, and now
unhappy.
It's like, and yeah, or just plain miserable, yeah, or they're just not making beer. But it's strange how it's flipped around for me,
yeah.
Anyway. You know, I look at it the other way, and like God forbid we were in a flush economy, what would be going on? We'd be totally screwed.
Well, you know, failure to me is not living the life you want to live. And in money isn't really a part of that particular equation, although you need to make money in business.
Right.
And I think you made that decision to say, you know what, you know, this is life, it's short. I want to do it my way. And that's why I admire you guys.
And Scott, one thing, I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but one thing that I think... from what you've gone through already, these newer brewers that should be looking at you and what you've done and following that same example.
Well, it is. It's kind of, I find it kind of bizarre that, like, being a 6.5-year-old brewery, we're like the old guard.
Yeah,
you know, that's like the amazing part of what's going on in beer right now. It's that you know, how the I'm a veteran. I'm still like a guy that's just like homebrewing, like, you know, I'm just like a douchebag that's in over his head, you know.
There's so many breweries just popping up right now all within this area,
right.
You know, and it's just kind of learning off each other and helping each other.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the whole craft beer community in the first place. You guys are all tight. You're not, you know, no competition per se, you know.
Yeah, there's plenty to go around.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, you're ahead of the curve in the industry, too.
Right,
I mean, there's a lot of room for growth in the craft beer world. I know it just from what I do. And hopefully, you know, come 5 years from now, Helltown's going to be here and East End Brewing's going to be here and you guys are going to be expanding your facility. You know, I look at Dogfish Head, I look at Sam Adams, you know, you look at Sierra Nevada too, which quite frankly, I respect them because they were really one of the first.
Right.
In my opinion, I think they're still keeping their quality there.
Yep.
And they're sticking to a really high standard in terms of craft beer.
Exactly.
And I admire that. You know?
Yep. Yep.
So. My wife just stole my beer.
That looked like a Helltown IPA slipping away from
you. Yeah.
You can go pour some if she wants. Just go around the bend.
Yeah, just
go
right over there.
Go pour some beer for yourself.
You know what? That's a great segue, man.
Yeah,
let's start with Helltown. Yeah, what are we drinking here?
We're drinking the IPA.
Yep.
Very juicy.
Very juicy. Grapefruity, very fresh hoppy flavor. There's everything going on in here is just effing awesome, man.
It's the big aroma.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
It does have a nice aroma to it.
What's the IBUs on this?
I think
maybe
it's about 80.
Maybe, I don't know.
About 80?
Okay. To be honest, we don't know.
It's got a really nice, there's not a lot of IPAs. I generally like for a double IPA, I like a modest amount of bitterness in the finish of it, and it's really just
it
must be all late edition hops, I'm guessing, and just spectacular beer. Well done, guys.
Really is a well done beer. So is it just one hop variation in this?
There's actually four hops in it.
Are you allowed to say? Or?
Oh, no. It's actually Columbus is probably the,
the prominent
70%
one?
70% of what's in it. Nugget being the next, so.
Yeah. So what are the other two?
Summit and Magnum.
Okay, yeah. So. Yeah, well, I love all those hops. As a home brewer, I'm familiar with those. Every one of them I like, you know. And they have their purpose, different parts of the brewing process. They really come out, you know.
Yeah. And we actually would have brewed a different IPA, but in February when I started to get some hops, I learned that four of the hops I wanted were already sold out.
Yeah.
So this is what we came up with.
But next year we'll have a IPA that's going to be really...
It's going to be a lot different than this one.
Yeah.
But, you know,
hopefully
people like
it. Use.
And I think that's one great thing about the quote-unquote hop shortage that happened is a lot of brewers found these hops that they've never used before because they had to.
Good point.
Now they're using them more often, you know?
Well, I just want to say, if you guys
if you're not able to get the hops you wanted, and this is the beer that you're making, I can't wait to taste what you're putting together when you're able to get the hops that you want.
Well,
Jesus
said,
Christ.
Scott.
I agree. That's beautiful beer.
Yeah. I agree, Scott. Yeah. Definitely.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, everybody has different tastes.
So
yeah.
When we brew a beer, I mean, it's got to go through him before everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And one we brewed that we wanted to put out this year was made Sean cry.
So, well, you know,
don't make Sean cry.
It was that
so,
good.
So it's just the rule, if you don't cry, that means the beer's not good. Is that how this works?
Nah.
Like you tear up into happiness.
Just
I'm tearing, listen, yeah. I'm tearing up right now after drinking it, so I don't know what's happening.
I'm not one to tear. I don't know.
It's okay. It's okay.
You can cry. It's okay. You should call the next bag Orphan Tears.
You know, I got to tell you, my glass is empty. And that's
so.
Where'd your wife go?
And another, another great segue, Phil.
I see Scott has a couple.
She's not coming back from the hotel booth.
Yeah.
So I'm going to slide my glass over there.
East End there.
Yeah, we're going to try some East End.
Let's stay hoppy for now and then follow it up with what I've been wanting to try since I got here. Oh, Scott even pours his own beers. How about that?
People keep taking pictures of us.
Yeah.
Do it as a home brewer. Yeah, bring it on. I love that.
Celebrity.
Yeah. I don't want to be that.
Bring on the funk.
You're all over the World Wide Web. You got the queen of cyber world right in front of you right
now. Yes, you do.
Chris with Hawktown.
We're
being tweeted. She's like the queen of the cyber
Facebook
world.
That's the glass that came down on the
ice. Woody!
I want to talk to you in a couple minutes.
All right.
All right, so what do we got here, Scott?
So this is our bigger hop. You know, we're only allowed to use a certain number of names at the brewery, so we just deal in superlatives and, you know, of a fatter Gary or a monkeyer.
Fatter Gary.
But this is our a double IPA spin on our flagship big hop IPA. So we actually brewed this beer a few years ago, and I wasn't really happy with it. We sold it and kind of moved ahead with it, but. That was based on the Big Hop recipe as an imperial version of it, but Big Hop's a pretty malty beer, and what you end up with when you take a malty IPA and imperialize it, if that's a word, is you get a barley wine. And we didn't want a barley wine, we wanted a double IPA. So this is actually more based on like a petal pale ale recipe. I don't even know what the hops are in it. I've totally forgotten what's there, but my guess is probably some Chinook and Centennial Cascade. There might be something else in there too. We did this as a small batch brew. Did a little bit of draft just to kind of get some around town and let people know it was there. And then we got big 1 liter swing top bottles like this at the brewery during Valor Hours.
Well, you did a phenomenal job. This is a great beer, Scott.
Is this ever going to be on tap, you know, in kegs more often than it is now? Because I love this beer, I'd like to see it more in that respect.
When we get more capacity, that's like the answer to any question you ask me right now.
Right.
When we get more capacity, we'll be able to brew more session ales. When we get more capacity, we'll be able to make more double IPA. When we get more capacity, you will stop screaming at me. That's really the name of the game now. Is we're
production.
Just, we squeeze in these one off batches whenever we get a little breather, and. Generally, we think we have a breather, and we put it in the tank, and then we realize we're screwed because we, you know, just shorted the other five beers we're trying to keep in production.
Yeah. Well, so basically, you need a sign that you can wear on your back or a shirt that says "When we get more capacity." The answer to your question is when.
East End on the front, on the back, just shut up. We're not done yet.
Yeah, that's a great. I think we're onto something here.
Right.
Yeah.
Ask me about my beer .. yet.
So you would consider this to be more of a double IPA style, or
that's what we're gunning for.
That's what I would say.
But even Big Hop, you know, if you look at the logo, it doesn't even say IPA; it just says Big Hop because it's kind of, you know. it's a little on the malty side, but it's now it just has become Big Hop as a style in our minds.
It kind of keeps those BJCP guys off your butt. Not the style, you know. It's good freaking beer.
Start with a style and do what makes sense.
Just drink the beer because you like it.
And again, I think I may be putting all you guys on the spot again, but this comes from my own feelings about this. How do you guys feel about the BJCP and the style guidelines? Do you like it? Are you in favor of it? Because I'll tell you what, I'm not. I respect it, and I think it's a good base. But when you judge every beer that comes across the table to that, you're killing creativity in brewing because, it's not BJCPs. And I know people that stick with that guideline and nothing else, and that's bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's... I look at it as a starting point. I mean, I don't enter beers in GABF. I don't have the time or the patience to go through that process. You know, I look, are we selling beer and are people happy about the beer that we're putting in front of them? That's my measure of, like, you know, judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, like, trying to plug it into a style category, I think styles are important to have as a basis. It gives a view of history, and I mean, my whole, you know, view of the world is always through the lens of beer. And if I've learned something about a culture, I've generally learned it about through beer. Because of the kind of beers that they're making. That's generally the lens that I'm looking at the world. So I appreciate styles as a starting point, and there's a lot, you know, the style guidelines are there for a couple of reasons, because you need to have some sort of a measuring stick. Otherwise, everything is just based on the merit of, like, is that a good beer? You know?
Well, right. Kind of reminds me of the German purity law, you know, where you have this basic guideline, and, of course, American breweries have, like, blew that out of the water, basically.
Yeah.
But
right.
I agree with you, Scott, to have that foundation for styles, but... to not put so much weight on that sick puppy.
Exactly.
You know,
I think it's like Scott said, it's a great starting point, especially for like a budding home brewer.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make a Weiss beer. Let me look at the guidelines and see how I can start it, and then fuck it up from there. For lack of a better term.
And it has a convenience when somebody comes into the brewery and says, "What kind of beer is this?" You can say, "Oh, this is a pale ale." It's a shorthand. It has a set of assumptions that goes with it, and I mean, we often, you know, we've got a beer right now on tap in our Session Ale series. It's an Irish Red, and it's Chicory Red, which is, if you're native to Western PA,
Cherokee
it's like
Red.
Cherokee Red was the red pop soda that you had as a kid. That
pissed me off, though, if they had to legally rename or respell it. Or spell it differently.
Oh, really? Yeah, we
the Indians sued them because of Cherokee Red, so they made the O and E.
All right. I always wonder why it was spelled wrong. And we of course, butchered the spelling again for a hybrid of Chicory and Cherokee, so... So, you know, it's a red ale, but it's certainly not the style because there's this other weird aspect to the beer. So, you know, it's a starting point. You know?
As long as I've been homebrewing, I've come to the point now where I want to make weird shit. I want that oddball crap. And, you know, if you hear the show later, guys, I won't talk about it because I've talked about it four times already today. But just no Dorian fruit, then we'll stop there.
Well, experimentation. I mean, that's just...
Dorian's the ultimate experimentation.
And sometimes you make a mistake and ends up being something amazing.
Exactly.
It ends up being a Dorian beer.
Yeah. Well, I actually... that's a good example of that is, you know, I've been homebrewing for a while. I've been trying to clone the Arrogant Bastard from Stone Brewing. I fucked it up one night, but it was right on. It was spot on after fermentation. Thank God I take good notes.
That's
a repeatable screw up, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of good notes, you know, how is consistency challenges? I mean, for both of you, for Helltown, how is that?
We've brewed three batches so far, so, and we actually have a couple more fermenting, and I think we've just been really lucky. Because starting gravity and ending gravity have been like just a point off or something.
Yep.
That's nice. It has been
so. My homebrews are way off.
So surprising. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we're just lucky. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
They all turn out, the ones that turned out, they turn out very.
Yeah.
Very consistent.
We've just been lucky. I don't know.
You know, they're really good.
So, it hasn't been a real big challenge for you guys so far.
So far.
Yeah, what about you, Scott?
I mean, I know we're going to have issues when we're dialing in a new system because,
right.
I mean, mm-hmm. when you're making a one-time batch, like Bigger Hop doesn't have to taste like anything. It tastes like what we choose it to taste like for the first time. It's a one batch.
Right.
But a beer like Big Hop, we're brewing that every single week. So as a result, it's got to hit the same flavor profile. Like years ago, I would hear people say, oh, I love your Big Hop, but it's different every time, but I always love it. Like, well, I think that's good, but I'd rather it actually tasted the same. So we've dialed that in more in the last few years.
Our issues are more going to be like right now, the kegs we're using, they're really old. So we've had a couple that have been undercarbonated. So we're going to fix that. And it's going to go from there. Yeah. Like a lot of QC needs to happen.
So quality control is my job.
Yeah.
You know? I love that part of my job.
Every little thing, the carbonation really makes a difference.
We need to test every keg. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, quality control. Speaking of quality control, my glass is empty.
We can remedy that as well here.
Let's see what else we got. This next one's from East End Brewing again.
So talking about styles, this is you want to chime in? Chime away.
Yeah, thank you. Before we switch styles, I know that the guys from Helltown brought another beer here today. We didn't try at the table. Can you guys talk about that one real quick? Since we're switching up the styles anyway.
Yeah, the brown ale.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a brown ale. It's probably closer to a southern English brown. It's not hoppy. It's more malty. It probably has a hint of a double in it, although there's no Belgian yeast, so it's definitely British. But
is that on the table right now, or am I
no?
Kind of
it's
out?
It's we can go get some.
Uh-oh.
What's your wife
runner.
Doing?
My wife is our runner. If you could go to Helltown and get us wow, we need glasses though. I think our glasses are
the brown.
Yeah, we need to get the brown. While she's running, we're gonna do a little taste of the Old Neb Stock Ale. Oh, Old Nebby.
Yeah,
Stock.
Old Nebby. It's actually Nebby. It's really good.
We're signing like a copy autograph for Woody.
Howdy.
How you doing, man? Turn that mic around real quick. Say hello to everyone. We've talked to Woody many times. A good friend of the show.
Hello to everybody.
You know, if Woody wasn't here, I feel like there was something wrong. I mean, it's like a fixture for the Big Four.
A lot of people have said that. I heard from Dave coming in. Everybody was saying, is Woody here yet?
Where's Woody?
Unfortunately, I had a flat tire on the way in, so I got here at like 5 minutes to noon.
Well, you had a fat tire? That's not sold in PA. How'd you get a fat tire?
Well, speaking of...
I had a fatty thinking about you, baby.
Speaking of Woody, my wife was saying, where's Woody?
Oh!
And, I don't know.
I'm sick puppy on the show, Phil. I'm stomping on my territory.
Yeah, all right.
Listen, I'll make the jokes around here.
That's right. I'm the sick bastard. I'll make the jokes.
I'm sorry. I'll pull back.
You're supposed to be the clean guy, you know, the reverend to my, you know.
You know, when I get around you, sick puppy, you bring me down, man. You bring me down.
Yeah, I do. That's, yeah, it's bad. I tend to bring out the worst in people in public. So what we got here, Scott?
So this is our Old Nebby Stock Ale, which we actually are releasing today at the brewery. So this is a brand spanking new. Yeah.
All right. This is
today is our, we have a double release today. Isn't a double release nice?
Thank you for bringing that to the fest, man.
Yeah, sure, wow. Sure. Actually, we're being stingy with it here at the fest, though. We're only pouring it to people that are wearing East End Brewing T-shirts.
Hey, Scott, so what's the alcohol level on this?
This one, I believe, is at 6.9.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know, beer styles, this is an old ale or a stock ale. And the history of the style is that, you know, before the time of refrigeration, breweries would keep back a fair amount of old ale and blend it with the new to give a consistent flavor profile throughout the year. And then at the end of the season, they'd sell their unblended as a stock ale. So that's what this is our stab at.
And if I were doing a blind taste, I would say this is probably an old stock ale, style.
Whoever needs a bone.
Yeah. I think you hit it on this style-wise since we've been talking about style.
Yeah, and it's and so Brendan gets all the credit for this one. I had very little to do with formulation on this. It's the beauty of having talented people in the brewery that I don't have to do every single recipe personally. So we throw, he does some, I do some. We come to a consensus on what things should be. So it's nice.
I got to tell you, I'm really liking it.
I mean, what was your inspiration for that? Overall,
the old
name, yeah.
Well, we had a notion to do a, you know, we just did the bigger hop release. And we just did Monkey's Uncle in bottles, which is like a Dunkelbeißen. So we're thinking, hey, let's do something on the malty side of things. And an old ale isn't something that we've tapped into before, and we wanted to give it a Pittsburgh flavor. And so for you have an international audience, right? So I need to explain what being nebby means to people that aren't residents of Western, Southwestern PA.
We got one awesome fan in Romania. He won't get it, so go ahead.
Yeah. Nebby, to be nebby or to be a nebshit, as the vernacular was in our house growing up.
Nebby
is to
that.
Be, yeah, nebby and that. Ends are all being nebby. Let me neb in there and look at that. It just needs to be nosy, so... So definitely the locals understand it. And old Nebby, we actually have a picture of the quintessential Nebby neighbor, Gladys Kravitz from Bewitched, on the website next to the old Nebby bottle. Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
I think I'm gonna be Nebby and try another tick of this.
Are you out? Let's switch it up a second.
Ooh, that's good.
Now we have the brown ale.
Yeah, we have the brown ale on deck from Helltown. And
I think things are starting to get popping here with session two. I'm gonna go man my post. Yeah, I got a couple of things I need to put together. You can, if you can find a home for the rest of those beers, that would be.
I love you.
We definitely will find a home, Scott.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
I say peace to the East End Brewing Company. We love you guys.
And Helltown, stick around for a second. We'll talk about your brown ale.
Yeah,
Scott,
brown ale,
thanks for talking to us, brother.
Thanks, Scott.
Appreciate the time, as always.
And,
it's an annual event with us.
Pour more of that, buddy.
Sounds good.
And again, I'm going to put it on record again, Scott. We're doing a show with just us and you.
When are we going to do
outside
this?
Of the Beer Fest. I don't know. We've been talking about this for, what, 4 years now?
You can come stand in the big empty building we have now.
Let's do that.
All of your radio listeners can see what the new building looks like. It's great.
We do video, too. Do you even watch our show, listen to anything? Yeah. We're on the internet, Scott.
Wow, really?
No, Twitter and Facebook.
I thought this was going on an 8-track.
It is.
All right.
Thanks again, Scott. Appreciate it, brother. Love you, man.
Thanks, Scott.
See you guys.
Yeah, Scott.
Well, now that asshole's gone. Just kidding.
Congrats on the new release.
All right, let's do some brown ale discussion here, but I know you guys are going to get swamped in about 10-15 minutes, so...
He's healthy.
If that.
These Yinzers are starting to get a little antsy because there's more people coming in.
Give me that really dark beer that's in that bottle right there.
Oh,
what's in that?
That's not Misery Bay.
All right, so
my apologies to Erie Brewing Company.
So what's the name of this beer?
This one's mischievous.
Yeah,
we're Helltown. Got to be a little playful.
Yeah, I think that's a very playful name. Let's give her a try here.
Here to the left. Who wants it? Oh, I do.
You know, I hate to be nebby, but...
Nebby!
How did you come up with mischievous?
Are you talking about the name or the recipe?
Like, were you smoking something while you were drinking it?
No. Don't do that, actually.
He was surfing for porn.
I think a thesaurus was involved. Yeah.
Okay. I think I was a little bit too nebby. he got really uncomfortable there. And, So
dude, with me as a host on this show, you should never be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And we put a bunch of names on a list, and I just picked them.
And it sounded good with
this.
That's
what happened.
Insidious, mischievous.
Very nice, very malty, not real hoppy. really a brown ale by style. I think style-wise, you think you guys hit it, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you there, Phil. Again, I mean, I like brown ales, but I don't visit them often enough. This is one that I would go back to in an instant. I've had other brown ales where I'm like, eh, it's a brown ale. This one I would return to.
I would like to say, just making a guess, this is probably around 5.8, maybe around there. I don't
4.75, actually.
Okay, so yeah.
A little under 5. Yep.
Wow, I'll tell you.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the craft brewing community nationwide about, you know, we heard before, and me and Phil talked about this earlier, is, you know, it used to be, oh, the sour ales, that's a new IPA. That kind of died. Now it's session ales is the new IPA.
Oh, yeah. We're doing sours.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. We actually have a...
listen to the early part of the show.
We actually have 6 wine barrels filled right now. Just... lactobacillus eating away, and we're going to have some nice
brewer,
sour stuff.
I love that.
Very excited about
I love all styles of beer. The one I'm trying to wrap my head around still is the sours.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I haven't got there. I'm trying. Every one of my friends loves them. It's a very popular thing.
Yeah.
Me, I just need to find that one. Maybe it's yours.
Could be. Yeah, maybe
could
it
be.
Is.
Could be.
Now,
someday.
You have a sour fermenting right now.
Yes, we do.
Okay, and do you have a name for it?
No, we don't.
We got some time.
Yeah, we have some time.
Should I get Nebby and ask you how you
Satan Sour Tit. How's that?
I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
I don't think
I have
PA
no idea how we're going to.
I think people milk that beer.
Indeed.
I have no idea how we're going to come up with the name.
Good
but
one, dude.
We'll see.
I think people will milk that beer.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to say
again,
that.
Somebody said something that I should have said first. Which means you're more fucked up than I am.
Exactly.
This is a beer,
that's
by
a
the
rare
way,
thing.
That I can drink a lot of, is what you're saying. 4.7, that means I can down a little bit.
You know, for
enjoy
a session
yes
beer, too, it's
yes
heavy enough to be right up my alley, but light enough to I can drink a shitload of it.
And at 4%, 4.5%, you can drink a lot of it.
Yeah,
it's good.
And it's flavorful for 4.5%.
Feel free to test me on that later.
Okay, well,
come on by.
It's all you. Have a seat.
Have a seat.
Well, you know, we just, Lee just came from Hoppin' Frog, too. I think he has
surprises
for us.
Oh,
I know we got about 10 minutes left for the next session starts.
But, and we should get going anyway. It's,
well, I don't know. You might want to stick around for this one. Maybe not. Oh, that was
a
Turbo Shandy, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're about to open the gate.
All right, guys, let's
well, you know what?
Let's end this in a good way, obviously. I know you guys are going to get swamped, man.
Fun interview, guys. Enjoyed it. Enjoy your beers. And you know what? You know, get to know me. Brett, our sick puppy, knows me very well.
Brad.
Sick puppy knows me.
It's okay.
I will talk shit on a beer if I don't like it. I can't
fake.
I can't fake.
Dude, and that's why our listeners like us, because we're honest.
And sick puppy,
I'll tell you if your beer is shit.
I have no qualms on that at all.
I think these are good beers. I mean it from my heart, man. I hope the best for you guys.
I totally agree.
Don't stop the vision, man. I mean, that's what this is all about. It's just seeing it through, and I hope you grow.
Yep, right on.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. I know you guys are about to get hammered with craft beer freaks, so I don't want to hold you up, man. Appreciate your time. Oh, by the way, do you have any shirts over there?
We have shirts over there. Lots of them. Just for you.
Can you bring me one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll bring you one.
We'll get you one.
I'll pay you for it. I don't know.
What size you want?
XL.
XL. We'll get you.
Oh, wow. They got shirts, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, by the way,
website.
Before we go, great point. Before we go, where can people find you at?
HelltownBrewing.com. We probably update Facebook the most, so there's a link there. And keep up with
like
us.
/ Helltown Brewing?
Well, no, there's a www.HelltownBrewing.com. And then from there, there's a Facebook link.
Perfect.
And just like us. You can have updates. We'll be having growler hours probably in about 6 to 8 weeks. Look out for us.
Will you be my friend?
We'll see.
Dude, that's the reason I do this show, because nobody wants to be my friend. People like me. They really, really like me.
I'm your friend, sick puppy.
Thank you to all the Saturday Night Live fans that get that.
Can I be your little chopstick?
No. That's just a little too creepy. Even for me. Yeah, dude, right. as long as you're raw, I'm good.
I think it's time for me to hop off.
Yeah, I think it's time to kill this beast.
And, even I'm uncomfortable.
Again, hey, thanks again, guys. I know we'll be talking to you guys soon. So, cheers, brother.
Good luck in the next session. Man. Cheers to you.
Thank you.
Peace
if you send
people.
Any hot chicks at your booth, please send them our way. That'd be great.
Oh,
come on.
We'll see.
If they become too overwhelming for you,
send them our way.
We'll take care of them.
Okay.
We can handle it.
We'll do.
It'd be the Christian thing to do.
All right. We'll do that.
So you get a health care Christian thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it.
My wife just pinched me in my side.
Oh! warning. Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger. I am the co-host here with Sick Puppy. And we miss Father Spoon. But you know, here I am with Lee Gidley, brewer of Hop and Frog beers. And, you know, Sick Puppy went to take a leak. So,
it happens after a good long day of this.
I'm sure there was a line out there, too. But anyways, we're here to talk about a really good beer. This is a new release. And you want to...
released it Thursday.
And this is Saturday, so here you go, folks. You're getting it first time. We're actually drinking this beer, and it is a barley wine. Am I right, Lee?
Yeah, this was to celebrate our five-year anniversary as a brewery. So this is really something special.
I'll tell you what. I just tasted this beer, and OMG, this will knock your socks off. Oak-aged. I'm getting a very, very mellow flavor to it. This comes in at around 11.3% alcohol. But you know what, though? This is dangerous. In fact, I think the name even spells out dangerous.
We kept it in barrels for 6 months, which really kind of smoothed it out quite a bit.
Yeah.
And being at room temperature, that kind of brought out some of these caramels that you're tasting.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some folks here hanging out, having a good time. How you guys doing? Here at Big Tour 2011. All right. Well, so what is the official name of this beer, Lee? It's got a lot of acronyms.
Yeah, Barrel Aged Naked Evil BBW. BBW is Belgian-style barley wine.
And, you know, just talking to you, this beer actually really is close to your heart because when you first started with Hop and Frog, this was the very first beer that you brewed.
Yeah, I brewed for a small brewery in Youngstown for a year. Kind of, you know, paid my dues there a little bit. You know, learned a lot about the industry. Went over to Hop and Frog and, you know, learned a lot there. But this day one, when I showed up, you know, kind of overwhelmed, you know, being in this new brewery.
Yeah.
This barley wine happened to be the beer that we were brewing that day. That was 7 or 8 months ago. We brewed it. It stayed in the fermenters for roughly a month, you know, average time for us.
Right.
And after that, it went into barrels for 6 months. We got it out a few weeks ago and got it all bottled up and released it for our anniversary Thursday.
Well, you know, looking at the bottle, it's not a real fancy label, but you know what? It doesn't need to be because the beer does the talking.
Exactly. I mean, we called it Naked Evil. We wanted a label that was naked, you know, down to the basics, and let the beer speak for itself.
I really like the concept, and I can't tell you how much I love this beer. I mean, this is one of the best beers I've had. In fact, your brewery, Hop and Frog, was rated like number 7, am I right?
17.
Number 17 in the world. Okay, let's really analyze that. There's what, maybe 1,500? There's more than that in the world.
Yeah, there's
there's probably 3,000 plus breweries in the world.
I don't remember the exact details, but we're rated
it doesn't
right
matter.
In there with, you know, the greats. I mean, Stone, a lot of the, you know, the oldest breweries in the world were rated right out there with them. You know, Dogfish Head, you know, all of them.
Now, how did Dogfish Head rate, you know?
They were, if my memory serves me, plus or minus 2 from us.
Oh, okay, so they were pretty close.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, and you know, we're a five-year-old brewery, so Fred Carm, the owner and founder of Hop and Frog, he's obviously done some stuff right to gain that ranking in such short time. But we brew very big beers, and you know, we don't spare any expense at making the best beers.
Well, you know, what I've learned about Hop and Frog, if you're looking for cheap beer, don't buy Hop and Frog. But if you're looking for a great beer, then you want to buy Hop and Frog beer, and that's how I feel from my heart about Hop and Frog beers.
I believe the value is there, though, because we are brewing the best stuff on the shelves. I firmly believe that our beers are, you know, very, very full flavored, and they take a lot of ingredients to get there. A ton of hops, a ton of malt, and a ton of time. We are very, very small scale and hands-on in all of our beers, so that all definitely adds up. It adds up in the quality.
Well, Lee, one thing I know about Hop and Frog, everything that Hop and Frog does is over the top.
Yes.
There's not one single beer. Now, as the owner of Vintage, I've had the opportunity to pretty much try everything Hop and Frog has made. And I believe that you made another beer called Hop Dam.
Yes.
Which was about 250 IBUs, am I correct?
Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. And IBUs are difficult to calculate sometimes. You know, there's theoretical IBUs and then actual IBUs, international bitterness units.
Right.
You know, you could have them tested and do everything you want, but most breweries have a very, very hard time getting over 150. The level at which you can taste them is right around 100. I don't remember exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it's just insanity. Most breweries that brew on a 10-barrel system, such as Hop and Frog's, I would say their IPAs that they brew have, I don't know, 50 to 80 pounds of hops, some of the biggest ones.
Wow.
Hop Dam actually used 113 pounds of hops for a 10-barrel batch.
That's almost as much as a Bud Light.
Yeah, the entire 1,000-barrel batch or whatever the heck they do.
You know, the one thing I'll say about Hop and Frog is, A, I love every beer that you guys have made. And I want to break it down. First of all, Hop Dam was one of the best kick-ass hoppy beers I've had at the BE. Number two, I've had many Shandies, and your Turbo Shandy. Tell us a little bit about that beer. I mean, that is like off the charts good, but it's got some kick to it. So usually when you talk about a Shandy beer, you're talking about a light body beer with some lemons in it, and basically infused.
Shandies traditionally are more of a British drink that they took pretty much a pale ale or an English bitter, something like that, and they mixed it 50-50 with lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do anything really 50-50 or anything nearly that light. We brewed a really, really awesome, full-bodied 7% beer, which also happens to be the lightest beer in our portfolio at 7%. So we brewed a really awesome, kick-ass 7% full-bodied beer. And then we added a very specific lemon extract to it that... Fred Carm, the owner of Hop and Frog, owner and brewmaster, he spent a lot of time sourcing out and designing with our with the people we work
Fred
with.
Fred is a great guy, too.
Really awesome extract to mix with.
Fred's a great guy. I'm happy to say that I've gotten to know Fred pretty good. And I guess part of the theme for today, too, that we've been talking about, Sick Puppy Nights, just really going outside of the box. And Hop and Frog exemplifies going outside of the box, being out of your comfortable zone, taking the risk to do something that's totally off the charts. The Turbo Shandy, off the charts. Hop Dam, off the charts. Doris, another beer by Hop and Frog, off the charts good.
The Boris is kind of our flagship beer. And let me tell you from quite a lot of experience that the Boris is one of the hardest beers that most people will ever brew. I mean, just insanely, insanely thick. The grain to water ratio for brewing the beer is far more than most homebrewers would definitely ever try to accomplish. Well, for the Doris is Boris's big sister.
Yeah.
And it takes Boris to a whole nother level. I mean, when we stir the grains in to begin that mash, it's quite literally thicker than concrete trying to stir that in.
So what really differentiates Boris from Doris?
Bigger.
Just bigger, more...
Yeah, and maltier.
More malt.
And we also hop the hell out of it.
Oh, no, sick puppies here. Sick puppies in the house. There he is. There he is.
I'm going to say, we use just absolutely tons of hops in the Doris. So it's got that bitterness there. I mean, we're talking about an absolutely, absolutely massive beer.
Catch me up, brother. Give me that. We're
talking about the Doris now.
Yeah, we poured you another one, sick puppy, but one of your buddies came by and drank it, so we had to fix you up there.
Yeah, where's my sample
glass? And you stole your glass.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyways, wait.
Far for the course of the beer fest.
Sick puppy, I'm telling you, are you sitting down?
I am, indeed.
You better drink this one sitting down, because this will knock your socks off.
We already talked about this while I was going to pee, right?
Yeah. We've been talking about it for a little, since you left. But, you know, as your co-host today, we didn't say anything bad about you.
Why not?
Go ahead, anyways.
It's free range, sick puppy bashing. It's okay.
You know,
oh, my God.
Isn't that effing good? Isn't that incredible? This is one of the best. This is not only a barley wine, this is a Belgian-style barley wine.
Did we get a picture of that?
Barrel aged. I did get a picture of it. We will post this. And I was talking to Lee, the brewer with Hoppin' Frog here today. This beer is all about, barrel aged naked. Okay, and he explained to me why the naked word's in there, because nothing else matters. It's like barrel, it's raw, it's like the only thing that matters is what this product is, even the label. This is a boring ass label.
No, it's not.
Let's face it.
That rocks.
This is what I love about Hoppin' Frog.
It's plain.
It's very plain.
It's unorthodox for Hoppin' Frog.
But you know what though? The label is not what's going to sell this beer, it's the taste.
Exactly.
And once you have one, you're going to be pissed.
I've only had one drink of it, and I agree.
This is very, very limited. We didn't really brew all that much. And this is basically for our fifth anniversary.
Nice.
And we used the barrels that we had available to us. And we meant for it to be a very, very big deal.
Yeah.
So is this going to be available to the public in mass quantities? Or?
Not in the immediate future. We'll see how it works out.
Thank you.
I have a feeling I'm going to have a little bit at the VE. But
hey, what's the alcohol on this? What's the ABV?
11.3.
Oh, Phil, you're in.
And you're right.
Ohio, bro.
And you know what's so
cool? Right under.
You know what's so cool about this beer is this was the very first batch of beer that Lee brewed with Hoppin' Frog when he joined the team.
Yeah.
And I think that is so awesome.
That's great, man.
And he got the very first bottle that was actually...
He already drank that one, though. This is not the one, right?
I keep a private stash just for myself. It's probably not... As sad as it is...
And this is why I hate brewers.
Amazing, amazing beer.
Get love.
I keep a private stash of memorable beers for myself.
Beautiful beer.
The first brewery I was involved with, I kept the very first beer I brewed there. As soon as I moved to Hoppin' Frog, the very first beer I had off the line, which was this. It was kind of weird that I had to wait 7 or 8 months before I got the first beer that I brewed. But yeah, it just happened the first day I stepped in the brewery. we're brewing this barrel-aged Naked Evil, the barley wine. And little did I know that day, but yeah, I was going to spend 6 months in the barrels. So it finally came out, and I stole the first bottle off the line for myself.
I want to know, you named that beer?
That was definitely Fred Karn.
Fred's on BBW forums? I know where that comes from, brother. Come on. Big, beautiful women.
Yeah, we can really work with that one.
Belgian-esque
and, you know, beer-wise, this is a big, beautiful woman.
It is. It's a very, very big, full flavor.
I actually expected this to be a lot more boozy than it is.
I mean, it spent 6 months in the barrel, so that really, really smoothed out. And you're tasting all those nice caramel notes. You know, I'm a big fan of any beer with a ton of caramel in it.
I agree.
And I, you know, as much beer as what I've brewed, I absolutely couldn't believe how much caramel came through in this beer.
I get a lot of that, dude. Yeah.
I can't believe how many hairs I've grown on my chest right now after taking that last sip.
I can't remember last time. That's when he fell off.
Is there horny goat weed in this too?
That may be an idea for the future. We'll see.
All I know is sick puppy's looking very attractive right now.
You give me a hard on that can stop a fan, Phil. Or chopstick.
So we're talking Hoppin' Frog here today. You know, we got over the top beers.
Oh. Can I interject for it, Phil? You gotta tell the people, man. Doris, an annual beer, correct?
Yeah, we made it a year-round selection.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, it's still limited production.
Right, but it's available more often than
not. It's definitely going to be available much more often.
Fucking A, dude.
So, yeah,
I'm
going
to drive to Akron right now to hug Fred for that.
Well, Sick
Puppy. Welcome.
Yeah, you know, Sick Puppy, the one thing that's been kind of consistent today with these craft breweries is production issues.
Yeah.
And I know that Hoppin' Frog probably has the same challenge. Am I correct to say that?
As far as?
Being able to produce enough beer to meet the demand.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hoppin' Frog Brewery has been, you know, maxing out production for years now. But that's kind of the way we like it. We can keep producing the best beer really we possibly can and not worry about anything else. We know it's all going to sell, and we can just take our time and focus just on the quality and let the beer sell for what it is.
Yeah. You guys already
just focus
have a reputation
on our craft.
That's unfounded.
Exactly. I was telling Phil while you were gone, I mean, we were rated on ratebeer.com for this year's 17th best in the world.
Huge.
After 5 years, that's amazing.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
That's one of the biggest reasons I joined the team, is that I really wanted a part of a brewery that has that sort of reputation.
I came late for the party here, but you and Chopstick over there talk about your history, your brewery?
not really too much.
Let's talk about it a little bit, where you came from and where you're at now.
Well, you know, just to give Lee some kudos, with the previous brewery he was with, he actually wrote the recipe for this beer called St. Michael's.
Yeah, exactly.
IPA. And
I couldn't have been happier with the way that
he left.
I want to tell you this, and Lee already knows, Sick Puppy, but we put this beer on tap, and it was gone in like 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's how... Dude, I mean, it really went that fast. It was that good.
And
Phil's establishment, Vintage Estates, happens to be, and it has been for a long time, probably my favorite establishment to go.
Thank you.
When I first started brewing, I brewed for Rust Belt Brewing Company in Youngstown. That's where I brewed the St. Michael's Double Pale.
That was all you, right, Lee?
Yeah, that was the first recipe of my career that I wrote the recipe for and got to brew it. You know, saw it the whole way through. I probably bottled most of it by hand myself as well.
I saw your bottling system there. Three at a time.
Oh, yeah, two at a time.
That was three.
Two at a time,
all right.
Ridiculous. But anyways, so I put a lot of work into that beer. With the help of a couple other people, thanks to Ken Blair, for giving me the opportunity to do that beer. Ken Blair and Nick Rosich.
for giving me that opportunity. But anyways, I couldn't have had a better better venue to release my first beer. That was kind of a deal worked out between Ken Blair, the owner of Rust Belt, and Phil Rita here. They let me come into Vintage and release that beer for the first time there at Vintage. And yeah, a lot of really good bands. That was an absolutely spectacular night.
It was a great event. And, you know, one thing I want to ask you is that was, A, a great beer, but B, here's a question. So now you're with a different brewery. You wrote that recipe. Does that stay? You know, and Ken's a good guy, and, you know, Rust Belt, you know.
Yeah, right.
I like those guys. But what about, I'm just kind of curious, like, how does that work for you when you write a recipe? Does it stay with that brewery that you were representing at the time?
I don't really know.
Okay.
Here's the cool thing, though. You know, there's really good beers out there, but you can always write new recipes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not nearly done yet. I mean, I haven't homebrewed in a while, but that's really where I find the creativity to keep doing more different styles, sure. And more crazy stuff. I'm not really concerned about that recipe. It came absolutely phenomenal.
That's cool.
I loved it, and it was good while it lasted. If I'm actually not sure how good the records are. If Rust Belt Brewing even knows exactly
take good
what
notes,
that beer
I've had beers
if
like
he came and
up,
asked me today,
great.
I would definitely let him have it, just because I'm not really all that worried about it. Rust Belt wants, if anybody wants to brew one of my recipes, and I bet this is the same for any home brewer out there.
Yeah,
they would be incredibly taken back.
Honored.
And blessed to have one of their beers brewed by a brewer.
I agree. That was a great answer.
Surly Brewing just started releasing their actual recipes on northernbrewer.com.
I'm not concerned about recipes.
Surly Furious, amazing beer. It wasn't a clone. It was the actual recipe.
Yeah, I would never tell anybody, you know, any brewery's recipes. You're not going to find me, you know, throwing out Hoppin' Frog's recipes. If I even cared to keep them, as a rule, I don't even really pay too much attention to the recipes. Write them down anyway.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't want to know them. I don't want to
know anything. Yeah, for me as a homebrewer, I don't know about Phil, but you might be the same way. But if somebody tries my beer, and what hops are in this? I'm like,
I don't even usually remember.
I have no idea. I must check my notes if I forget.
I was drinking with Sick Puppy Sunday, 6 days ago.
6 days, Sunday.
Yeah, he asked me what hops were in a certain beer.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell him. Yeah, I don't remember whatsoever. But yeah, that's almost, I try not to. We got that on paper.
It's not that we're ignorant. Yeah. It's just that
I know when we add it,
so much, we
I try
forget.
As much as I can to forget it.
It's almost better to not remember because of some, like, terrorist person.
Yep.
Wanted to torture you, you wouldn't even fucking know. You'd be like, I don't know. And, you know,
like, fuck you, Rosa Chinook. Fuck you, Rosa Chinook.
That's true. I mean, I know details, some really cool stuff, like how many pounds of malt go into certain batches, and how many pounds of hops go in, but that's just, you know, cool stuff to me because it's much bigger than any brewery I've ever heard of.
And I've collected so many recipes over the years. Don't ask me. I'll look it up for you.
I got everything on paper.
Yeah, right.
I got everything on paper. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, recipes, if you know how to write a good recipe, they can come easy. I recommend doing it on a small scale real quick.
Right.
Unless you really got balls.
I recommend technology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beersmith is definitely my friend.
My best friend.
ProMash.
No. I actually hate ProMash.
Yeah, me too.
It's a great tool, but it looks like Windows 95. It's so archaic and old.
I think they quit rewriting the upgrades for that about 5 years ago.
So, I like Pro Tools.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's decent. I got started on Beersmith real early and stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's the good thing is, like, once you start on one, you learn it, stick with it, man. I think Phil's pouring more of this shit. Thank you, Phil. I mean, Chopstick.
Every time I try this, it's never quite enough.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
I brewed this stuff, and I can get a hold of it pretty easily. But even at that, I want to save it. I can't imagine that people will come out and pay for it, and they're sitting there cellaring it. You know, if they bought three bottles, I don't know how you could sit there and restaurant two bottles.
Oh, dude. I get the idea of cellaring a lot. I understand it. But for me, I wouldn't drink it now.
The Husk beer is already matured right to where
I totally agree. That's my point.
Check it out.
Drink it now. Enjoy it now. If you eat cellar IPAs, you're nuts.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
3 months, man.
Don't try it.
Yeah, don't do it.
I can't wait to see what this beer becomes. And,
amazing beer, dude. Thanks for sharing it. Cheers, Phil.
Cheers to you awesome people here.
AKA Chopstick.
Love it. Lee, keep up the good work, man. We love you, buddy. We do.
I know Hoffman's not here this year. Damn it. Tell Fred that should I drink that Chevrolet.
Yeah.
We love him, man.
And Lee, the one thing I want to say to you is great more recipes. Because
I hope so.
You got it, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, cheers, bro. Thanks again, man.